Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Living Water Bible Fellowship, and we just are glad you're with us this morning, and prayerfully, in a couple more weeks, we'll be back together with fellowship. We'll start this morning with a little bit of prayer, and then we'll read the praises and prayer requests for the week, and we'll go from there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your many blessings upon us. Father, we thank you for the sunshine the last few days. Father, we thank you for just the blessings you've bestowed upon each and every one of us, and that as we get this coronavirus under control, may we gather back in your house and fellowship. But Father, until then, we'll retain the precautions that we need and just give you all the glory. Father, today as we come before you, I am going to bring the praises and prayer requests before you, and we have Tina's son Joshua and Samantha Kephart were affected in an explosion of a saline tank a week ago. And Sam has a mild concussion and a hole in her eardrum, but she should heal just fine. Joshua sustained a lot of burns over the lower half of his body, and he was treated and released, but he's still in a lot of pain, and just keep them in prayer. Father, we continue to pray for Bill and Joel Bishop. We had a call from Bill's daughter. His brother Edwin, who is 95 years old, is not doing well, and he's ready for the Lord to take him home. Pray that God's will be done in the whole situation, and keep Bill and Joel in prayer, as Bill is still struggling from a few things that he doesn't quite feel so well just yet. Roselle, praise God, Roselle's tests came back clean, no cancer for her. Kelly Glave reports that both her aunt and uncle were in their 90s who were tested positive for COVID-19, and they were in separate care centers, but they are doing well, so they're recovering quite well. The mother of little boy Eli, who had neuroblastoma, posts that he is now in remission. Praise God for that, and thank you, Lord. Thanks are given to all who sent messages, prayers, food, phone calls, and gift cards to the Grieve family after the passing of Brunel. He did not have COVID-19 and just passed away and during his sleep, and he's with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right now. So praise God for that. Lois's son-in-law, his friend Carlos, who we've been praying for, went home to be with the Lord. Please keep his wife in prayer. Isabella Auer also passed this week after a long fight with cancer. Everybody is thanked for their prayers, and please remember to uphold her family during this time. And I believe Isabella was Lee and Diane Dixon's neighbor, so that's how we know her. So, Father, we'll just bring all these up. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Father, yes. We know that you handle and know each one of these concerns, and you do take care of them, and we trust you with that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Father, we thank you for Jim's recovery, and he's feeling much better now. Yes. with a short ailment that he had. Father, we just ask your guiding hand over this church as we continue to praise you, even though we're not gathering in fellowship. We continue to praise you. I just love you, Lord, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your blessings upon us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, it sure is a delight to be with you today. And as I look out here, you're all looking good. This is Rich Lacey, and I'm going to be preaching for our brother Jim today. He's still a little under the weather, but talked to him a little while ago, and he's doing much better. He's just still kind of weak, but he's feeling a lot better, and that's a good thing. I'd just like to share with you this morning. I want to use as my text. What I want to share is a topic that that Keith always wants me to put a topic on it for. So it's called faith or fear, or fear or faith, whichever way we want to put it. Okay, but I want to use for my text this morning 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version. I like the way that King James put it. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the NIV uses, instead of a sound mind, says self-control. And Paul was writing to young Timothy, and Paul was writing from prison, and Timothy was facing anxiety and fear in his world. And, you know, we live in a constant changing world. And Timothy was going through some things, and Paul was writing to him. And the one thing, even though we live in an ever-changing world, God never changes. And Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes." The truth that Jesus Christ does not change provides a sure anchor for our faith. We live in an ever-changing world. And we can trust God and His Word. His Word never changes. So with all that in mind, how is a child of God to live today? But I want you to notice in our text, with verse 1, it says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear." And fear is a common reality we live with. Even as a little child, when they hear a loud noise, it sends a fear through them. But there's also a healthy fear. Sometimes fear can actually keep us alive. There's a healthy fear. In Proverbs verse 9 and 10, or Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So we see there is a healthy fear. When we talk about fear of the Lord, we don't mean that we're afraid of God. It means that we are in awe, we're in reverence of Him. We respect and the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. We have this awe of Him, not fear that He's going to harm us. But here in our passage of Scripture, it talks about the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear does not come from God, but from Satan. Faith and fear are at war with each other. The spirit of fear is trying to undermine your faith. It's trying to pull us apart, get us to doubt by what we hear, to destroy our faith in the God that loves us. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in our world today? What's going to happen to our health facilities, our hospitals, what's going to happen with our finances, our economy, our small businesses, farmers, our jobs? Everything right now is up in the air with this coronavirus that's really throughout the world. God wants us to have faith through it. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we listen to what God says. I'm sure you've tuned into the news media, and I think we ought to stay informed. We need to stay as informed as we can of what's going on. But we got to remember that God says what God's word says. Let me tell you what God's word says. God says in all circumstances, we are overcomers. The Bible says with God, all things are possible. It says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can snatch us out of His hand. through it all, we are more than conquerors. But notice what this verse says. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God. I like that, but God has given us a spirit of power. Now that word power is a Greek word, it's dunamis, and that's where we get our English word, dynamite. God has given us a spirit that explodes into power. A good example is Peter in John chapter 18, when Jesus was arrested and his disciples were scattered and they were following in the distance, and Peter was following in the distance, and when he got into the courtyard, Peter was up warming himself by the fire. I'm sure you've all heard sermons of that. I remember some of the old preachers, you know, of Peter warming himself by the enemy's fire. And then there's this always this little 5'1", 95-pound girl that comes up to him and looks at Peter and said, "Aren't you one of his disciples? Wasn't you with him?" And Peter was so taken by fear that he denied even knowing his Savior, even cursed him. See, the spirit of fear overcame him. The spirit, it took control of him. It caused him to deny his Savior. But I don't want to be too hard on Peter, because I think in the circumstances we'd have probably done the same thing. But if you look at Peter in the book of Acts, in Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then look at Peter now. It says, "Peter stood up and he said to the men of Israel, 'You are the ones who crucified the Lord Jesus. You put him to death.'" Peter spoke with a boldness that he had never had before. And see, we need the Holy Spirit to give us this boldness, this power in our lives today. Holy Spirit, that's one of my favorite courses is, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life." It is the Holy Spirit. This power is what gives us the victory over fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, his Holy Spirit, and this gives us the victory over fear. This power explodes into faith that we need to trust God. The Bible says it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power that raised him from the dead, he lives in us. And it causes us to believe that greater is he that lives in me than he is of the world. The greatest power on earth. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, I always like this comparison, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And what Paul is saying is not to become inebriated or under the control of alcohol. And anything that has the power to control, harm, or hurt a Christian needs to be handled with extreme care. And Paul said, do not become under the influence, or do not be controlled by fear. And the Paul's positive alternative to being drunk is to be filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying, just as drinking a great deal can cause a person to be controlled by wine or alcohol, being filled with the Holy Spirit will lead to being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Being controlled by the Spirit is living in a manner worthy of God's calling. God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the power to do so. And the words "being filled" carries the meaning in the Greek of being repeatedly being filled. God's children must experience constant renewal by repeatedly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Believers experience repeated fillings with the Spirit by maintaining a living faith in Jesus Christ, by being filled with God's Word, praying, giving thanks, and singing to the Lord, serving others, and doing what the Holy Spirit desires. The spirit of power, and also he's given us the spirit of love. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. God's love is perfect. He loves us perfectly. And like John, we love him because he first loved us. And it's not whether we're good or whether we're bad or our performance or whatever it is. You see, God, he can't love us any more than he already has. And he never can love us less. He did that. He loved us by sending his son to die in our place. And look at the verses before that. Look at verse 16 and 17. It says, God is love, and his love is perfect. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Then it goes on to verse 18, perfect love cast out fear. Well, what's John saying here? What's John saying? I believe he said, if we are in Christ, we have fellowship with the Father. And if we have fellowship with the Father, we will strive to obey his commands. We will remain separated from the world. We will remain in the truth and love others. Then we will not be condemned on the day of judgment. And Paul writes in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Genuine faith, not fear, will express itself in gratitude to and love for the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. Faith and love are inseparable. For when we are born of God, the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given, the Spirit of power. Every Christian desires to have assurance of salvation. That's why perfect love casts out fear. We need not fear it. We are safe, we are secure in Jesus Christ. You see, we need the certainty that when Christ returns or when death comes, he or she will go to be with the Lord who is in heaven. You see, John's purpose in writing his first letter is that God's people may have that assurance. God is love, and he can never be anything but love. And I believe that we have the assurance of eternal life if we believe in the name of the Son of God. There is no eternal life or assurance of salvation without an earnest faith in Jesus Christ that confesses him as God's Son, sent to be our Lord and Savior. And that's why John wrote, dear friends, now we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Well, how does this all happen? The Spirit of power, love, and also of a sound mind, or as the NIV says, self-control. You see, self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's love, peace, patience, kindness, joy, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. And like myself, I'm sure that you've all heard a lot of times, if you want to change your life, you have to change your thinking. And this says that we don't take other men's opinion or their conduct as a rule for life, but that we wholly renounce this world and set before us as our mark the will of God as it is revealed to us in his word. And in Philippians 2, 5 and 6 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus was willing to give up something as well as to be obedient and submissive to his Father. He gave up the full glory of God to become a human. He willingly committed to being the sacrifice for all human sin. In other words, Jesus knew what the plan was. He had confidence in the plan, and he agreed with it. Could we say then that Jesus knew the mind of his Father, and the Father knew his? I think so. Let's look again at the setting or the context of this passage as we look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." This is a mindset, or as the NIV says, it's an attitude. This is the mindset of Christ, or his attitude. And Paul says this is the mindset that we should have. Well, how did Jesus demonstrate this mindset? Well, he was willing to be obedient, to give up something he had to become the sacrifice for sin. He had the choice, and he chose obedience to his Father. They were of one mind. And I believe we humans have the choice to have the mind of Christ. This means that we have to develop the actions and deeds of humility and obedience to the Father. In the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In our lives, we must be doing God's will. That means that we must give up our worldly ways of life and the attitudes that were developed from living in our society. It means behaving according to God's expressed will, such as the Ten Commandments. You see, we tend to be greedy, self-centered, dishonest, and vain, looking out for ourselves and not so much for others. Loving our neighbor means looking out for their needs and treating them as we want to be treated. Now listen, if we want to have the mind of Christ, we can read all about his actions in the four Gospels. If we want to see how the disciples behaved, the book of Acts demonstrated how they followed Jesus. There we can see demonstrated what it means to have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:16, Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul is telling the people of God, let the mind that is in Christ, the very thinking of Jesus, be your thinking also. His mindset is the one that we all should seek. And that brings us to a question. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? And simply put, it means to think and act as Jesus did. It means making Christ-like decisions that determines how we are to live. You see, every time we look into the mirror of God's Word, we're to ask ourselves, does what I see about myself reflect the nature and thinking of Christ? Am I changing from image to image, conformed to Jesus' very likeness by every experience that God brings into my life? According to Paul, here is the mindset of Christ. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. Jesus made a decision while he was still in heaven. He made an agreement with the Father to lay down his heavenly glory and to come to earth as a man. And he was going to descend to the world as a humble servant. He would seek to minister rather than to be ministered to. For Christ, this meant saying, I go to do your will, Father. Indeed, Jesus determined ahead of time, I am laying down my will in order to do yours, Father. I negate my will so that I may embrace yours. Everything I say and everything I do has to come from you. I'm laying down everything to be totally dependent upon you. In return, the Father's agreement with the Son was to reveal His will to him. God said to him, in essence, my will won't ever be hidden from you. You will always know what I am doing. You will always have my mind. So, you see, when Paul states boldly, I have the mind of Christ, he is declaring, I too have made myself of no reputation, and like Jesus, I have taken on the role of a servant. And Paul asserts that the same can hold true for every believer. We can all have the mind of Christ. And I just want to thank you for your time. And it's always a joy for me. Now I look up, I'm start talking with my hands. I move all over the place, but you know, I'm sitting in a chair now because I was afraid I might fall off that thing once I get started. But listen, this is a very real situation that we're in. And many times right now, our faith has been tested. And my prayer for you is like Paul's, that in the time of testing, when these times come, that we will remember who we are, remember who we belong to, and remember Jesus is faithful. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to get halfway across the stream and decide that no, that's not it. But God is faithful. We can trust him. And I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray. Many times when we watch the news, when we watch all of these different things, it begins to wear on us. But you know what? We're going to make it. That's God's word. God says we're going to make it. We belong to him. And he's a God that's never lost a battle. He's a God that never made a mistake, and he's not about to start with this generation. He never let those people down that went before us, and he's not going to start with our generation. He's going to see us through this thing. And my prayer is, a lot of times we say, well, you know what? I just wish we could get back to normal. Everything can get back to normal. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been doing a lot of thinking during this time. The way my life is, I don't want to be back to normal. I want to be normal things, but my relationship with Christ, I want it to be different. As we, during this time, I believe we move close to Christ. Our faith grows. I don't want to be the same. I want to be different. I want my faith to grow, and I want yours to grow. And so right now, just pray with me as we just reach out to heaven. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you, and I pray that you would keep them safe. Father, I pray that you would protect them from the evil one. I pray that you would protect them from coming to try to snatch your word away from them, to pluck it out of their lives, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that they would turn to you, they look to you, and Lord Jesus, that we uphold one another. We just confess right now that you are the creator, the sustainer of life, and Lord, you're going to see us through this. And Lord, we are going to provide. You are going to provide. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Watching and waiting, looking up.
Jesus, my Father.